It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in The Zone Sports Network.
Reunited, and yes, it feels so good. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, buddy.
Oh, man, I've missed you. Missed you, missed Lloyd, missed our listeners. Did anything happen while I was gone?
Nope. Well, let's see. When you left, the Jazz were up 2-0 against the Clippers.
Scotty.
So,
yes, I wasn't able to see how'd things turn out. How are we looking?
Well,
for the next round. Suns are.
Let's just say we have a lot of time to prepare for the next time the Jazz take the court.
Oh man.
Do you feel any like a little bit responsible at all?
No, I'm not taking any responsibility.
You should,
for this.
Because they were up 2-0.
Wow, Lloyd's coming strong.
No, what, Lloyd? I'm not taking any responsibility for this, man.
Oh, okay.
I will sit in commiseration with the Utah Jazz fan base. And I know that Grandpa Monson tells us to not get emotionally involved. And I get that. And it's not that I'm overly emotionally involved or biased towards.
I can't believe you called him Grandpa Monson.
Is it Grandpa Gordon? What did we decide on?
I don't remember deciding on anything.
I know that he gets really upset about the whole bias thing, and I get that. And that's not even the angle that I'm really coming from. It's just a different kind of dropout gut feeling for the Jazz fan base.
Yeah.
Because everything had mounted, Scotty. We watched everything build to what it had built to. And the last time you and I talked on air, Lloyd was making fun of me. You were harassing me. But we did get into a quick conversation of Kawhi Leonard's off the court. What does that mean? And I know the three of us were just beaming with hope. And I know that the Jazz fan base was beaming with hope. But the first thing I mentioned was everybody just hold on, buckle down. Don't think that this is a positive.
Or buckle up.
Don't take this as a victory because Kawhi is off the court. Those things just cause turmoil. It throws a weird wrench into the mix. And the next thing you know, you're fighting an uphill battle.
Next thing you know, Terrence Mann scores 39 points. And you blow a 25-point lead. Man. Lloyd, we got to talk about it.
We got to talk about it, Lloyd.
Ease his pain.
We aren't going to get through this show without mentioning.
We got to see Ease His Pain one more time, that joke about Fill the Dreams, because that was the Earl Jones' name.
Yeah.
Terrence Mann.
That was his name in there?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Terrence Mann. Yes. That's why everybody kept making, like, Fill the Dreams references.
Oh, I had no idea. I just thought people were enjoying that movie at the time.
Instead of watching the Jazz.
Yeah.
It's Father's Day weekend, you know.
Hey, Dad, how about a catch?
Oh, I can't even start to explain how I feel for Jazz fans because I got caught in the moment of expectation too. That's the problem, Scotty. We let our dreams get in front of us just a little bit on this. Sorry, I'll speak for myself. I let my dreams get in front of me. When I saw Kawhi Leonard was out,
yeah,
and Mike Conley was a possibility of return, and all the things that were kind of clicking and happening, I thought, boy, the tides are really turning.
And by the way, the way Phoenix is playing, it may have all been a moot point anyway. The way that the Jazz were just beat to hell going into the next series, even if they were able to win that thing. I'm with you, though. There is so much of – and to me, and I talked about this a lot last week while you were gone, like the disappointment isn't just the fact that the Jazz lost in the second round or couldn't get over the hump with Kawhi out. It's that next year the Lakers are going to reload and they'll find some other superstar to add with LeBron and AD and the Nets are going to be healthy, and they'll just run roughshod through the East. Like, it all just kind of laid out with all the injuries to other teams. Like the NBA is not a parity heavy leaning league. The NFL is. You can rebuild and win a title in no time flat in the NFL if you're smart and you're able to hit on some free agents.
Unless you're the Raiders. Beat you to it.
In particular, the Raiders. With that said, this was a year that was like Toronto, where Klay Thompson goes out and Kevin Durant gets hurt. Or with the Pistons, when they won a title. Like, every now and then, the NBA just cracks open the window just a little bit for somebody to come out of nowhere and win a title. And this is going to be the year. It's going to be either Milwaukee or Phoenix that's going to win a title this year. And then after that, then the window gets slammed shut. Like, no, you don't get that opportunity again. And that's why it's so frustrating, because the window was just open just a hair for somebody to come out of nowhere. And if the Jazz were healthy, it's a different series with the Clippers. And yet, next year, that window probably gets slammed shut again.
Every Jazz fan needs to brace for this, because right now I think it's trending towards Phoenix. At least in what I'm watching, it feels like it's trending towards the Phoenix Suns.
I'm with you 100% on that.
And it would have been the Utah Jazz had things just turned out a little bit different with the Clippers. And health-wise, I don't know. I'm wondering if there was a Game 7, I'm wondering if Rudy Gobert would have been available. I think he jacked up his tailbone pretty bad.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
You could tell that he was banged up. And I don't know what Mike Conley would have been in Game 7. Donovan Mitchell, that was just sheer grit and determination.
Oh.
So I don't even know what Donovan would have been in Game. I would have loved to seen a Game 7, but I just don't even know what we could have expected from them in Game 7, even though the Clippers were dealing with their own injuries. That's one thing. It's really tough to use injuries as any type of excuse. And it's not an excuse. It's an explanation. What we need to do in the starter is, there is a puzzle of explanations, little pieces that need to be put together to build the big picture of what happened to end the Utah Jazz season. And that's what you and I kind of need to do.
Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm still in shock. This summer is going to look a little different because obviously I'm hurt. So definitely trying to rehab first. So I'm ready for next season. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm going to be doing next week. I mean, I'd probably be sitting here mad as hell watching the games and doing whatever. But this hurts more than last year, because we were up again, lost, like, again. And this is going to eat at me for a long time, watching the Clippers and the Suns play in the conference finals, and even watching the finals. Like, this was had an incredible regular season, made so many pushes, and we continued to fight. But man, like, this is going to eat at me. When I go to the grocery store, I'm gonna be thinking about this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, wow. I don't know if that puts it in perspective for you, Richard, but
oh, I'm feeling for him, because I was watching Game One, the Suns Clippers Game One, and I was like, nope. Too much.
I saw your tweet yesterday.
Can't
about
do it.
Yeah.
Don't like it. And I was going back and forth with the U.S. Open coverage, and I would switch over, and I'm like, nah, I can't do it. It's irritating. And I can't imagine. If I'm Donovan, if I'm the Utah Jazz, I'm not watching a second of that series. I'm not watching a second of anything moving forward.
Could you watch football, like, when your season was over?
No. As soon as it was over, I was done.
Yeah.
Both in at the college level, the NFL level, and the AFL level. As soon as my season was done, I was done. And I still believe that had it not been for my transition into sports radio, there probably would have been a 4 or 5 year period where I wouldn't have watched any football.
Wow.
I'd have just gotten away from it, let it go, try to let my feelings heal, you know, because it's deep-rooted pain. And Donovan's not kidding, man. That having to watch two teams that in the back of their minds, they believe that they're better than.
Yeah.
And I don't care what everybody can tweet at me and say, oh, bull crap, they know that they were beat outright, and they know that this and this, and the Suns have beat them three times in the regular season. I don't care about any of that. I'm telling you from an athlete's point of view, from an athlete's perspective, I believe Donovan Mitchell, I believe Quinn Snyder, I believe Rudy Gobert, from Rudy Gobert all the way down to, I don't know, who's the bottom man on the totem pole?
Trent Forrest.
All the way down to Trent Forrest. I believe those guys believed that they were better than the two teams that are currently playing in the Western Conference Finals. And that is what's nauseating, having to watch those two teams play.
Yeah, and that's because this will – look, I think this is going to be a year that's going to stick in the craw of Jazz fans for a long time. And when we talk about opportunities and things like that, this is going to be a big what-if kind of year.
Yeah.
What if the Jazz were healthy?
Huge what if.
What if Donovan doesn't injure the ankle? What if Mike doesn't injure the hamstring? Even Rudy Gobert. I mean, I think a lot of those wide open baseline threes in Game 6 were because Rudy was beat to hell on that injury he suffered in the first quarter. So there's a lot of what ifs with this, and that's going to be the thing and that people are going to hold on to. 10, 15 years from now, when we look back, and be like, what if?
Too many.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Because I would have loved to have seen a really healthy Jazz team go up against a Phoenix Suns team for the Western Conference Finals. I would have loved to have seen the Jazz go up against Atlanta or, Milwaukee in the NBA Finals. Like, there's not a team out there that I look at and be like, a healthy Jazz team, let's go. Like, there's no – big, massive force of nature team out there that you look at and be like, well, geez, that's a problem. No.
Oh, man, you can't play the what-if game. How do I even tell Jazz fans to not play the what-if game?
I don't know how you do it. Because I'm doing it. I can't help but not do it.
I can't help but not do it. Because I think that you and I both kind of see the writing on the wall. Everything that took place, everything that happened. No way Brooklyn gets knocked out by Milwaukee.
No.
No way Philly gets knocked out by Atlanta.
Yeah.
You just took out two of the best teams in the East. I know that Milwaukee's got, an MVP, and they've got an absolute monster. And I know that Atlanta's got some really nice pieces.
Philly's got the rookie. No.
I still don't know how Atlanta beat Philly, and Trae Young was 5 of 20, whatever, 6 from the field. It's unbelievable to me. But we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. The what-ifs are – you're right, Scotty. They're going to haunt Jazz fans. They're just going to – they're going to circle and haunt them. Outside of the two finals trips, this is probably the most disappointing postseason fallout by the Utah Jazz. I would put those finals appearances – and not winning a championship as the highest of the high. It doesn't matter how those things went. Those losses are the most brutal because they were for a championship.
Yep.
Outside of that, I believe that this loss to the Clippers without Kawhi, and I know that the Jazz were dealing with their own thing, but everything that was in front of it, you're meeting up with the Phoenix Suns. You're not meeting up with LeBron James' fully loaded L.A. Lakers. You're meeting up with the Phoenix Suns. That's a doable task.
Like the Jazz, Darren and Boozer got to the Western Conference Finals. They played San Antonio. San Antonio beat them in 5 because San Antonio was just a better team.
Yeah.
They just routed the Jazz. You continue on with those Darren and Boozer years where they were really, really good. I think people underestimate how good some of those teams were, but they kept matching up with the Lakers with, Kobe Bryant in his prime, and the Lakers kept bouncing them out of the playoffs, which – and they'd go on and win a title. So, it was kind of understandable, and you kind of like, well, shoot, that sucks. But, we ran into a better team. I don't know if the Jazz, and that's the problem, and I think that's what you're hitting on. The Jazz are looking at it like, I don't know if we're healthy. We didn't lose to a better team.
Man, that's so true. That's so true, and it's so painful. You bring up Terrence Mann and his performance, what he did to the Jazz. We always throw out game plans and we make comments like, hey, look, here's the key. you know, let's take LeBron James out of the game and let Kyle Kuzma beat us.
Yeah.
And we can deal with that. If that happens, we can deal with that. I'm wondering if, you know, waking up Saturday morning after the game six loss, if they looked at that and said, well, that's what we gave them, and they won it.
Yeah.
You know, we took Paul George out or whatever, you know, whatever their specific defensive game plan might have been. We were willing to give them that, whether it was above the break or corner. Terrence Mann was hitting it everywhere. We were willing to give them that, and they beat us with it. What can you do? I wonder if that's kind of a feeling that they might have.
It kind of was the vibe, and I listened to all the and by the way, Jay Catch did a tremendous job over the weekend and others hosting the Saturday show, and we aired all the, I guess it's not even locker room clean out, but all the postseason interviews. And I thought it was a really interesting tone where Rudy Gobert and even Quinn Snyder kind of just said, look, that was our plan. We didn't want anybody to get to the rim. We didn't want guys to we wanted to protect the paint, and we were willing to give up those three-point shots initially because we felt like we'll try to do our best against Paul George getting to the rim, and we'll concede some of these other shots. Well, when Terrence Mann started hitting everything, then you try to adjust on the fly, and then Rudy gets stuck in no man's land, and I got a sense that Rudy was – you know, Rudy keeps an eye on social media, and Rudy was keeping tabs on people doing a victory lap that were anti-Rudy guys and saying he was the problem. But here's Rudy being told we need to protect the paint, but he also has to leak out and try to protect the three-point shot on the baseline. He was caught in no man's land. I mean, he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't. And then you add on the fact a really nasty injury that limited his mobility. Mm. I mean, the Rudy hate out there is really strong right now, and it is completely unfounded.
Oh, man. Oh, I put myself in Rudy's shoes, and I'm in so much pain today.
Yeah.
Physical and emotional, mental. I'm in so much pain because, you know, Rudy's not half-assing anything.
No.
Rudy puts his heart into everything he does. And I'm sure that fall, and I'm sure that there was some damage there, a contusion on the back end. He really did fall hard. And that's one of the other difficult things for me in sports radio is having been a high-level athlete at the professional level, I understand the depth of game plans, like all the way down to the little tiny details of, no, it's not a full step, it's a half step, and you don't close with your arm halfway up, you close, you know, like all these stupid little tiny details that I know in a game plan set that nobody else in the world knows and nothing that we're ever going to share with anybody.
Yeah.
And Rudy in his mind is thinking, if they only knew. Like, if they knew what I was supposed to do here, here, and here. You can guess all you want. Even the Jazz insiders. Look, I'm considered the college football insider here in the state of Utah. And I do my best to understand looking at different maneuvering and a positioning of what players are doing, my best to understand responsibilities. But even I get calls from coaches and texts from coaches and direct messages from coaches that say, hey, I saw your breakdown on that. You might want to erase that because that wasn't his fault. That's not what his responsibility was. And I'm taking everything. I'm looking at the fullback and what his key read is, and I'm looking at the guard's pull, and I'm looking at the quarterback's eye and what he's supposed to do with one and two. And I'm trying to do my best with every bit of football knowledge that I have to analyze what that guy's responsibility was, and I'm still off. I'm still wrong. I consider myself a really good college football analyst. And I'm still wrong. So to try to guess what Rudy Gobert was supposed to do in any given specific moment, it's complete stupidity. It's insanity. You don't know. You don't, unless you go possession by possession, you know what Quinn Snyder expected of Rudy and what Rudy's role was in that moment. You don't know. And all we can do is sit here and guess. And to tear apart Rudy is ridiculous because you've got nine other contributors. There's nine other guys that had responsibilities. And believe me, you cannot draw up a game plan against a second-round draft pick out of Florida State. I think he was 48th overall in the 2019 draft. You can't draw up a game plan for that guy that goes 7 of 10 from 3 that you just rolled into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
That you have zero expectations for, and all of a sudden he becomes a world beater. You can't drop a game plan for that. And some people say, well, yeah, but you saw him hitting early. You should probably change and make adjustments based off of him hitting early. Well, then what? Let the bleeding come from where you wanted to stop the bleeding?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
because you were going to concede something.
You can see how this is maddening from an analytical standpoint.
Yeah.
Just trying to break down what responsibility was, and here's this 48th overall pick. A second rounder. He's a 2019 pick. Yeah. So what does that put him? Two years of experience?
Here's a guy that the G League didn't even want. I mean, there was a span. Like, you go back and read the story. Like there were moments where it was done. He was done. And somehow he keeps getting an opportunity and made the most of it and then single-handedly won an NBA playoff game. And I don't even think I'm exaggerating there. That man's – you're down 25 – Clippers are ready to just be like, all right, let's regroup and get ready for game 6 or game 7. And that dude single-handedly put that team on his shoulders.
So I'm just looking at his highest output through the year. He had one 20-point game against Toronto back on May 11th. He had a 23-point game against Philly. That was his best game of the regular season. 23-point game against Philly. And outside of that, he's not even sniffing 30, let alone 39 points. And then you watch game one against the Suns, and it was like, oh, he's all right.
Yeah.
He was okay. He was a contributor against Phoenix in game one, talking about Terrence Mann.
And that's what he's going to go back to. Hopefully, for his sake, he can parlay this into some money.
But 15 of 21, Scotty?
No.
You can't draw that up. Jazz fans, you can't explain that away.
No,
and Jazz fans, you can't look at Quinn and be like, you had to make adjustments. You got to switch out. You got to make sure you're rotating. You should have put X and Y and Z on him. You should have done this and this. That entire staff was looking at Terrence Mann like, this won't continue.
No.
This won't continue. Averages are going to break him. Averages are going to cut him down. Eventually, this will stop.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And I feel for Jazz fans, but there's no way you put this on Rudy. There's no way you put this on one individual.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Bruce is hanging out with us. We're live, Hans, here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
What's up, Bruce? How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. We're just trying to get people in here to sell their cars. You guys are still buying cars off people, right?
Oh, yeah. The market's crazy right now. The inflation's going up, and so we're buying all sorts of cars right now. Everything you have, just come in. We'll trade it in. We're taking all trades right now. We have tons of promotions.
Tons of promotions, all trades. But I want to continue to push this. If you've got a vehicle and you need cash, bring it into one of the big green buildings, and we're going to get you in and out of here 15, 20 minutes with cash in your hands. Bruce, kind of walk them through the buying process. Let's say somebody's out there. I'm just going to set up a scenario. They've got a 2017 F-150 with 48,000 miles on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're driving around here by the Murray location, or they're off 90th South by Ephraim's location, or they're down at 106th by Mike and Doug and those boys. You drive it into one of the big green buildings. Kind of walk me through the process, Bruce, of what happens for you to buy that vehicle from somebody.
Well, first of all, you're going to pull up to our lot, and you're going to see one of our great salesmen right off from the start. You're going to see us. We're going to come up. We're going to ask you exactly what you're looking for. As far as trading in your vehicle, you're going to bring it in. We're just going to do a quick little appraisal. It takes 10, 15 minutes. You're going to be in and out. We'll have the appraisal done and ready for you, and you'll have all the numbers making sense in a short amount of time.
You know, we talked to Travis Johnson a lot. Travis always says, do your homework out there. Anybody who's driving around in a car, you need some cash. Understand, first of all, your car is worth more now than it ever has been and probably ever will be. And Travis Johnson says, do some homework. You know, get a couple quotes.
Yep.
Bring the quotes in and let Bruce and let my crews here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket beat it. And you guys will beat those quotes.
Yes, we will. We have the good prices around. We have a great staff, one of the highest rated dealerships in the area right now. We have great music going on right now, free water and popcorn, because it's hot outside. Just come in and see us. We'll be more than happy to help you guys out.
Get you in and out of here with cash in your hand in just minutes. It's Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. You can start your shopping or you can start your sell back at LHMUsedCars.com. Thanks, Bruce.
And by the way, we got a ton of jazz gear here, too. So what, 5700 South State Street, real easy to find. Come by, hang out with us, and we'll get you squared away with jazz gear and all kinds of great stuff. Bruce and his crew ready to help you out. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Remember the Davis Vision Summer LASIK Sale going on now. Get rid of those contacts and glasses. Save $1,000. Start your road to better vision at Davis Vision. Check them out at davisvisionmd.com or call them right now, 801-253-2080, right here on The Zone Sports Network.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and Icon on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.35, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Wrapping up a crazy weekend of sports. Nothing going on at all. By the way, Top 60 and 60 resumes today. There will be a fan base that's very angry today. Let's just say that. We'll do that at 1:30.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing, man. I don't know what else to do. I'm thinking of Terrence Mann today, and I'm like, Terrence Mann won't score double digits in a single game against the Suns. He's not going to have a double digit game.
I kind of hope he does, just so he can. I got to imagine he's coming off the books this off season. So I hope he's able to parlay that into some money at least.
He might, because obviously they need the added presence. But
there was a San Antonio Spur player that. I can't remember his name. I always get – it was what was his name? Devin Booker keeps popping in my head. Obviously, it's not him. But, Lloyd, I don't know if you remember. But it was like 2004, 2005. Came to Utah, and he blew up. And, he had like a 45-point game. And then didn't really do anything else. And then the Jazz gave him a ton of money in the offseason.
No. Who was it?
I can't remember.
It was a Jazz guy?
No, it was a Spur guy who came.
Oh, that the Jazz
game. Well, yeah, he came and played against the Jazz in Salt Lake and it scored like 45 points. Everybody's like, what is going on with this dude?
Yeah.
And then the Jazz signed him to a big contract, and then he was, nothing.
We've seen that from quarterbacks in the NFL multiple times. We've seen that in the NBA. That does happen in the NBA. It could happen with Terrence Mann. But if somebody said, the 39 points, I'm stumbling over because it's just so maddening, and unbelievable, and because of the significance of this season.
Oh no, Terrence Mann's got a team option. Sorry, buddy, you're stuck
for one more year.
Yeah, two more years. Honestly,
he's got two more teams.
They got him at 1.5 this year. He's going to be at 1.7 on a team option next year, and then 1.9. Which, hey, that's great money. Don't get me wrong, but still.
Well, they'll pick it up, and he won't do anything, and then they'll let him go. But you're right. He could have capitalized on this, postseason performance with Leonard out and with issues that the Clippers are dealing with. He could have capitalized on it, but those team options will get you.
Yeah, his 2021-2022 contract becomes guaranteed, if not waived, by July 15, 2021. Then his contract is his second option year. He becomes guaranteed if he's not waived by August 1st, 2022. So let's just say he's not being waived by June 15th. Poor dude. He'd be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be here. Why don't you just go ahead and cut me loose?
And then to the fan base that Scotty's talking about, I do apologize because this player, you know, I think he just got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But I do think that after this season, that's going to be a name everybody remembers.
Devin Brown, thank you. Scotty B tweeting in. That's exactly who it was. I knew I had a Devin in there somewhere.
Devin Brown.
Yep.
Oh, man. It does
that's
happen.
That's not who I was thinking of. I was thinking that there was somebody else.
Well, remember Linus Kleiza, who'd always come here?
I always think of Linus Kleiza when something like this happens.
Do you remember, was it Louis Amundsen? What was the...
The old UNLV guy?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Was it Louis
Amundsen? He always had a big game.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had a few against the Jazz. It was like, who is this guy?
Oosthaven? No, I'm just joking.
Oosthaven. Definitely not him.
Didn't make it in the NBA, went out for his tour card.
He got in the tour. Pretty brutal, but hey, I wanted to ask you something just kind of off the docket. And I need an honest answer from you. You promised me you'll give me an honest answer.
Honest answer, absolutely.
Did you know that look at me, honest answer.
Okay.
Honest answer.
It's like, look at me. All
you
right,
you promise?
I promise.
Did you know that the Canadian border is closed? Like close, like no Americans through.
I didn't know. I thought they kind of walked that back a little bit, but it's still pretty hard fast.
It's extremely hard fast.
You have to have. Can you get across with your card?
No, passports, nothing.
No vax card or anything.
Nothing.
Really.
And not only that, but they're taking it like really serious. We tried to sneak.
tried to sneak across the border.
Tried to get across the border, and we wound up held in custody for a bit.
Are you not making like, this up?
You were in Canadian jail?
I'm not making this up. No.
Was
not,
it like a Tim Hortons?
Not in jail. No, it was not a Tim Hortons.
Did the Mountie get you?
No, the Mountie did not get us. The flat brims didn't. They didn't apprehend us. But
you didn't hear like a bugle call behind you?
I didn't hear a bugle. I want everybody to understand that the border's been closed, and it's been closed for nearly 500 days. And it's not like kind of closed. It's like, no, we're closed, and if you think about coming over, we're going to try to figure out to the detail why.
Yeah.
What in the heck you're doing?
I mean, it's America's hat. They can't be too strict.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm like, well, and they're flooding down into America, and I'm like, well, what's the deal? So, you know, we got
done with – Why are you guys crossing over in a river anyways?
Well, let me explain. So we got done with our Fort Niagara tour, which Fort Niagara is the oldest military fort in America. And it is, and you know, I've been around a lot of different, you know, I love those military forts. So I went to the one in Bermuda. I've gone to every single one that's down in the Caribbean islands. I love military forts. That Fort Niagara is the most impressive piece of history I think I've ever been to in this country.
No kidding.
It is unbelievably fascinating. Okay, but that aside, we finished up with this Niagara tour. And I'm like, hey, let's go grab some dinner in Toronto. I've heard it's lovely. And my mom is awesome because she likes an adventure.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, let's do it.
Let's
and
go.
My wife's like, oh, we got the four kids in the car. We got your mom. We're seven people deep. We're rolling heavy. But, hey, we've got birth certificates. You know, we've got Social Security cards. We've got passports. We got whatever we need. I'm like, all right, let's go.
All right, Longa.
So Longa and the boys headed for hell, and they're coming with me. We headed for the Canadian border.
Yeah.
And as we're driving down this long corridor, it's as empty as a ghost town. So, you know, this is supposed to be a corridor that's packed with cars trying to get into Canada.
Yeah.
Like sagebrush just rolling across it. There's one other car that's up in these booths that, like, 20 booths wide. There's one other car, and I'm like, huh, Toronto must not be as popular as I thought it was.
So that should have been your first sign, but all right.
So we drive up to the booth. I'm all confident. Drive up to the booth, and I'm like, hey, everybody, how's Canada? We're excited to come try some of your fare. And this lady in the booth, you know, stocky.
Okay.
Stocky Canadian Paul Bunyan like.
She was a handsome lady.
Yeah, chopped logs earlier in the day, kind of. She looked at me and she goes, "What? Excuse me?" I'm like, "Oh, well, I just thought we'd take the family. We wanted to go to Toronto for some dinner. Heard it's a lovely place." And she looks at me and she's like, "I can't tell if you're being serious." And I'm handing her all of the proper documentation for us to enter into Canada. And she takes it from my hand without looking at it, still looking at me in the eye, and said, "Did you take a wrong turn?" And I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "We're
Toronto, here we come."
I'm like, "Let's make this snappy," because, you know, it's like 6 o'clock p.m. I'm like, "Let's make this snappy so we can get."
"I want some of those fries where you pour the gravy all over it and the cheese. Let's go."
They call that Putin?
Or, yeah, we. That's why I was just describing it, because I was.
Putain? I can't remember how exactly you pronounce it.
That's the word I was not avoiding. I was trying to avoid saying.
Poutine? Poutine. That's it. So there we are at the border. Right. There we are at the border. And she says, "Yes, so you understand that, like, our border is closed. Like, no Americans in, period." And I was like, "No, that's news to me. I didn't know."
You play the Utah card. Like, "I'm sorry, I'm from Utah. I had no idea."
No.
And is there a reason, sir, why you have a kilo of Sara Lee pocket pies in your car?
Oh, stop it! They didn't check my car for Sara Lee pocket pies. So
those are powdered sugar donuts. I promise.
wiping the powder off my upper lip. I just ate a jelly donut. Can you give me a break?
Just let me in.
Well, she proceeds to hold us at that border as she does paperwork for a good 20 minutes.
What?
Yep.
She didn't just say, like, "Hey, turn your car around, get out of here."
Nope. No, 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 no. Oh, no. In fact, it goes much deeper than this. So she does all this paperwork, and she's like, "Hey, do you see those Border Patrol guys? These dudes all in this Canadian regalia with rifles, you know, looking like they're red coats standing in line." Like, it was like, "I want you to pull over to them."
Oh, jeez.
"And they have to complete paperwork to send you back to America."
Oh, get out of here.
I'm not even kidding you.
Like, hey, calm down, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like, what are you doing here?
I'm not even kidding you. This is the real deal. Anybody out there who's thinking about jumping the border over to Canada for some good food, it's not happening. Don't do it. It's going to cost you a couple hours. So we pull into this deal, and sure enough, these Mounties come over to us. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "We just wanted to eat some food over here, sir." He's like, "You got to be kidding me. We've been closed for almost 500 days. How do you end up at our border? Tell me you took a wrong turn." And I said, "We didn't take a wrong turn." Scotty, there were 10 cars, people being pulled out of the cars, luggage being pulled out of the cars, unzipped. This older woman was yelling at one of the Mounties. They sent to it because she's like, "We've been here for half an hour. Why are we still here?" And they sent these other two guys over to calm her down. So I'm sitting there like, I can't believe this. Well, I heard that woman yell, "We took a wrong turn. Can we please get to America, back to America?" And of course, I'm sticking with the, "Hey, we wanted food in Toronto" deal. Well, the guy is just looking at me like, "Y'alls are dumb. You're dumb. And every one of you is dumb. So I'm going to go do the paperwork. It's going to take me a while, but I got to do paperwork. And what you're going to do is follow me." He's got his car with all these lights. He said, I want you to follow me. You don't separate by X amount of distance. I'm going to make a U-turn. You continue right back to your border with these papers, and you tell them you never came to Canada." That's how I went. And my mom and wife and my four kids will back me up for the whole thing. It was I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I'm like, was I just trying to get into South Korea?
Yeah, like.
Or North Korea?
Like, it's freaking Canada. Calm down.
It's Canada.
Nobody really wants to go there.
I'm not trying to escape.
Apparently the Olsons did.
To Canada. I just wanted to see Toronto. I'd heard it's lovely this time of year. The guy was looking at me, though, like, both the handsome woman and the gentleman was looking at me like, "Boy, you got manure for brains."
Canadians are supposed to be nice, too.
Yeah, they aren't. Not at the border. Not at the border. And I want this to be a PSA.
No, and they don't like Americans either.
I want this to be a PSA. Don't try it. It'll be minimum of an hour and a half. For some of those people, they'd been there for 2.5, 3 hours.
Oh, boy.
Getting their bags checked.
And they made an honest mistake. They just made a wrong turn. You actually were trying to get in.
I was trying to get in for some good food.
Wow.
And I kind of wonder if that actually helped my cause a little bit. Like, hey.
You're just being honest.
This guy didn't have the wrong turn thing. Like this guy,
he just slow.
He's just slow. Get him some poutine and send him back to America.
I am blown away by this story.
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you.
Like, I could see him just be like, hey, come on. You've been watching the news. We're not letting you up here. Okay? Turn around and get out of here. But they put you through the ringer.
Put me through the ringer. And then when I got back to our border, the lady that was looking at all the paperwork was laughing at us, and she said, what were you guys trying to do? And I was like, we're trying to eat in Toronto. She's like, what are you? It's been closed for 500 days. How have you not heard? I'm like, no, I haven't heard. That's why I asked you to please answer me honestly. Did you know that it was like, no?
What was Mama Olson thinking about
this? Well, I honestly, no, I didn't. I knew they at one point closed.
You've been bad. Stop. Stop.
So, that was inappropriate. That was not okay. So, like, I'd known at one point it was, but, like, we've got a way better transmission rate down here than they do in Canada. Canada, they didn't buy any vaccine, so they're still getting hammered with the with the virus. We're in pretty good shape down here. You're like, have you seen the arenas? We're like 100% full. Why are you keeping me out of your country?
Well, that was the other thing the lady said. She said, you do understand, like, even if we did let you into this country, nothing's open. And I was like, nope, yeah. Didn't know that either. Thought you guys were doing okay up here. Sorry, eh?
Yeah.
Don't ruin my trip, Hoser.
Tell Trudeau to get his act together up there.
Oh, man. It's a true story, Scotty.
Well, at least the Americans were having some fun with you.
Yeah, she was laughing at me. And she was like, and she handed me back this paperwork. She said, why don't you keep that as souvenirs for one of the worst decisions you've made?
Wow.
Like, all right.
Uptight, angry Canadians.
I'll frame that. Yep, everybody.
Maybe you can use some of that free health care to chill out a little bit.
Border is closed. Do not try to go into Canada. That's all I'm saying. Don't even like, hey, maybe we'll just jump over, have some fun. It doesn't.
Because Toronto's kind of on my bucket list. I've always heard how great that city is.
That's why we were going to make the 45-minute trek. I was like, yeah, let's go check it out. Because I've heard it, too. And I've never had a chance to be there. Yeah, not happened. And that's why they got out of Canada to play their season.
Yeah, smart move.
Played it in Florida, didn't they?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
And to think that as far as Joe, I'm largely responsible. I may not win any awards, Dave, but it gives me a sense of great pride knowing, yeah, I don't feed the naked, but in a sense, I've helped facilitate a connection. So I can feel good about it, you know, a little bit. Not quite like you, but I think I can feel good about it.
You're not feeding the hungry, but you are entertaining the bored. So there's that. There's somebody stuck in traffic, stressed, the weather's bad, you know.
So what do?
You entertain the bored.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on The Zone Sports Network. Man, what a meltdown yesterday. Well, the beef hammer fell apart.
Should we start by the acknowledgement of your victory?
I finally got one.
The whole weekend was coming up, Scotty. Let's just say that.
It was, well.
I mean, there was one point where all three of my guys were at four under, just one shot off the lead. And then, Koepka gave a couple shots back late, and then Morikawa ended up at two under as well. But I'm like, hey, man, like, I might actually win this thing. And there was a moment where I'm like, well, Hans has got the leader, and, you know, the beef hammer might win this, and he gets the extra points for winning. And so, and then little did I know that he would not only just not win the thing, he would fall back. What, he finish at, what, plus three?
Yes, he did.
Beef dropped that much?
Yeah,
wow. He finished plus three. Five
I
under,
he dropped that much.
He went from a five under and sole possession of the lead going into the back nine to plus, finishing it at plus three.
So, Lloyd, plus eight through nine holes off the back. He carted a snowman on a par four. What was that, 17th, 16th, or 17th?
Yeah.
He carted a snowman. Okay, so here was Scotty's picks. He had John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and Colin Morikawa. By the way, you've broken the Morikawa curse because he finished at two under.
Yep.
And was a threat pretty much throughout.
Yeah. Had a double bogey late that kind of killed it for him.
At one point, you had Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, who were neck and neck.
Yeah.
There was actually a couple of different points throughout the weekend. Both of them at the top of the leaderboard. Everybody was hoping that, you know, somehow down the stretch those two would be competing against each other. But John Rahm and those two putts to close 17 and 18 may have been the most spectacular back-to-back putts that I've ever seen. By the way, first birdie-birdie finish in U.S. Open history.
Wow.
for the victory. And
the thing is, like, there was a spell where he was, like, hanging in there at four under, but he kept missing birdie putts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, his putter is really failing him. And then I went to a family thing and came back. I'm like, oh, okay, now he started hitting putts again.
Oh, man. Those two that he hit, what would you say, Scotty, 3-4 feet of bend?
Yeah, easy.
In both?
Yeah.
A lot of bend, a lot of movement, and he sank both. It was really a miracle run there in the final two holes for him to take the lead. And then he had to wait for Schreck to finish up his round. Schreck on 17 puts the ball into the hazard and ends up losing a stroke. So he loses a stroke, and he had the eagle, I believe, on 18 to try to pick up two strokes to get to force a playoff. And he put it about 15, 20 feet above the pin, and Louis Schreck Oosthuizen falls out of it. Outside of that, it was just a fun open, man. You had crazy streaker guy.
Yeah.
That had a golf club and put some balls down and hit a couple balls down the fairway before he was tackled. Pretty brutal tackle, too. Wasn't completely naked.
Very thankful for that.
You had the, as you mentioned, the Bryson implosion. You had McIlroy, Rory McIlroy, for just a minute remembered he was good,
yep.
And then remembered
then he
wasn't.
Was bad, yeah.
For just a minute, it's like, oh, Rory remembered he's good, and then no, he wasn't.
No, not good. Is this my first win, or is this my second?
This is your second win, but this is your first major win.
And this this was a big one, by the way, because all your
points.
Golfers were solid.
Yeah.
This is 2 points for you, Scotty. So a two-year tally wrap right now. You've got 3 points. Lloyd's got five. I've got 11. What we need to do is we need to cut it after this year and restart. We don't want to keep the tally, do we?
I think a nice little start over would be all right.
Because remember, through COVID, we were doing every tournament.
Yes.
Just calling it major pain in the butt. Then we'd do the major pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So maybe we restart this because we're pretty much only going to be doing majors from here on out. But it was a good pick, man. You had three really good golfers.
One good round. That was or one good tournament. I'll take it.
Webb Simpson sunk you, Lloyd, so you finished in third.
He didn't even show up.
Yeah.
Did he play? Actually play? I know he did, but whatever.
He did play. I think he shot like a 77, a 78 or something.
He was like 8 or 9 over on day one or something like that.
And by the way, guys, the no-cut line added 19 strokes.
Oh.
Yeah, whoever finished the bottom of making the cut finished plus 19.
Yeah, that puts you out of contention real quick.
And Dustin Johnson didn't do anything. Berger held up okay for me.
Yeah, Berger was hanging in there. He was a 2-under, right?
He was a 2-under. I thought for just a minute I was in good shape with Bryson. Because you did get three extra strokes taken off your score for picking the winner.
Somebody must have just started calling him Brooksy, and he just completely lost it mentally.
Well, Lloyd, to your point, like, something happened. And he did.
Because the guy was fine. He was there in contention.
He did double bogey a par 5. I think it might have been number 13, 14, yeah. Wherever that par 5 was. He was coming out of that sand, put it over by the media booth.
Yep.
Came back, I think missed the green, just ended up with a double. Like, at that point, it just,
and you're right, Lloyd, like, I don't know if somebody did that, but it just, like, it was like a light switch.
It's a light switch with him. By the way, I'm just going to declare this to you and Lloyd and everybody else on God's green earth that's listening. I'll never pick Bryson DeChambeau again. Yeah, I can't deal with his instabilities.
Yeah.
I love watching him, and I'll continue to watch him, and I'm kind of a fan of him because he is a storyline, but I'll no longer use him as a major pain-in-the-butt competitor.
By the way, Greg tweets in, says, let Hans know about this new thing called the Internet that might assist researching possible international travel options. I don't think that's necessary.
I know what the Internet is.
What's this Internet thing you're talking about?
Another tweet.
I know what the Internet thing is.
It says, guess you guys missed out on the fact that RSL is hosting a Canadian soccer team here because they can't get into Canada, eh? LOL, that's even sports-related. Love the sorry A in that story. You should use it more often, Hans.
Hey, listen, I only listen to 6 hours of sports radio, guy. That's his, you see, that's his
Twitter. Oh, yeah, no, big fan of his.
Oh, that's here for Sports UV. Oh, that I know that guy.
Yeah.
We love you.
I don't
care if you do bag on me.
Yeah, no. Hey, hold on to those days.
I mean, it hurts my feelings, but yeah. We love you.
Yeah. Hey, live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, Hans. Let's get some people bringing in those used vehicles.
So I was talking to Doug down at the 109th South location.
Yeah.
We're at the Murray location today, about 5700 South State Street. You'll see the big green building. And Doug was talking about how great the buybacks are going, not only for Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, but our listeners.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners bringing their cars back to sell.
Awesome.
And people out there need money. And if you need money and you've got a car that maybe you're in over your head, bring it in right now because that vehicle's worth more than it's ever been before. And probably ever will be again. So bring it into a Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket dealership. Go meet the manager or ask for the manager. You'll be greeted by a salesperson, but just say, hey, I'd like to go talk to the manager. Have a couple of numbers in your hand. Have the current book value. Maybe you've got two other quotes from other people to buy your vehicle. Bring those in. And Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket is going to buy your car and get you on your way in 15 to 20 minutes with that cash in your hand. Take advantage of it.
Come down here. We got Jazz Gear for you, 5700 South State Street. It's Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, Big Green Building. So come grab some Jazz Gear, and let's go. This is Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.